Last service, I said my favorite part of saying that is watching Pastor Matt get up and walk out. It always makes me chuckle. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm excited for the opportunity to share with you this week and next week as we begin our journey this year towards Christmas Eve. Go ahead and take out your Bibles, and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. This week we'll be in chapter 9, next week we'll be in chapter 11. And so I'd like us to get just a little bit of context as to what's going on in Isaiah. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, sin and darkness has ruled the earth. But the people of God have been holding on to hope because of the promise that God made when he said this to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the very first time that there's a mention of a coming Messiah. And I thought to myself this week, how incredibly gracious and loving is our Father, that in the midst of Adam and Eve's worst, they probably couldn't even imagine it, nightmare, the absolute horror of sin and darkness coming into the world. Adam and Eve experiencing the consequences of what it means to disobey God, full of fear and anxiety. How terrified must they have been? And it's in this moment that the Father gives them hope, in their darkest moment. He says, "Hope is coming for you. It's coming to save you, and he will come from your offspring." And so starting right then and there, Adam and Eve, and later all of Israel, begin waiting for the coming Messiah. And so from Genesis 3, we fast forward about 2,500 years to the writing of Isaiah. And Isaiah says this in chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Once again, hope is promised. You see, the people of God had a real problem on their hands here in Isaiah 7. There were two kings to the north that had united in an alliance against King Ahaz, who was the king of Judah. And Ahaz gets the bright idea, well, if they're going to get together, I'll just make an alliance with Assyria. Assyria was the most powerful kingdom in the area at that time. Oh, funny. Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Sorry. So the problem is this. God has specifically told his kings not to form alliances with pagan nations. And so God sends Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him to ask for a sign from the Lord. The Lord will not let the kings of the north defeat him. All he has to do is come and ask for the sign. Well, Ahaz won't do it. He won't have anything to do with the Lord. He won't ask him anything. He's already made up his mind. And so what is the sign that the Lord speaks of? A virgin bearing a child. You see, God wants Ahaz to trust him, not Assyria. And so this is the backdrop of what's going on in Isaiah. Israel is in imminent danger. And all the king has to do is trust the Lord. And so again, in the midst of horror, in the midst of sin and darkness, God gives a promise of hope. Isaiah says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel." God with us. Now, if we jump forward 700 or so years, Matthew quotes this verse word for word as the angel of the Lord speaks with Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. It says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so we got a pretty good picture of this darkness and this danger that Israel's under. So if you haven't already, turn to chapter 9 of Isaiah. And I'm going to start in chapter 8, verse 21, and we'll read to 9:2. It says, they will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness and gloom of anguish. And they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond that Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Isaiah here mentions that the people are in gloom. And he speaks of this darkness again. It's heavy. There's a great burden to it. And it's here that God begins to speak of the coming dawn of joy. Even though Ahaz is leading his people deeper and deeper into darkness, and judgment is coming, God begins to tell again of this plan of redemption. Light is coming into the darkness, and there will be no gloom. The light has shone. Interestingly here, I don't know if you caught it, Isaiah begins using past tense verbs. He says, who was in anguish, has made glorious, have seen, who dwelt. We're still 700 years or so, nearly 1,000 years away from the birth of Jesus here. But yet Isaiah is talking as if it's already happened. This is prophecy, and this coming child that Isaiah speaks of fulfills this prophecy. In Matthew 4, verse 12 through 17, it says this, now when he, Jesus, heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this is prophecy. And it's as good as done. It's a certainty. All right, so long intro to get our context. Go ahead and take out your note sheets. And if you haven't already, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's read our passage for the day, and then we'll pray. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts for the incredible gift of this baby, your only begotten Son, Jesus. We ask that you would shine your light this morning upon our text, showing us your glory through your glorious Son. Amen. Okay, point number one. The Savior is coming. The Savior is coming. Look again with me at the first part of verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This is basically a birth announcement. Guess what's coming? A baby. And I got to thinking this week, it's been almost 16 years now that my wife and I found out that our little Lily was coming. And I remember when we announced it to the world. I told her I was going to make her stand, but I'm not going to do that. How did we do it? Facebook, of course. Excitedly, we made the post. I made the joke in the post that we were going to have a boy this time. It didn't happen. Posted it and waited for the joy of the responses. Finally, the first response comes. Yes. It says, yeah, right, nice try. I'm like, what? Second one, not having it. Next one, tell us tomorrow, maybe we'll believe you. I'm like, what's going on? And then we realize the day was April 1st. So we waited till the next day and posted it again so they believe us. And so here we have Isaiah's announcement. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And I wonder after all these years what the people thought. I mean, Janelle and I only had to wait 9 months. At the time of the announcement, it had been 2,000 plus years. And it was still going to be several hundred more before Jesus was born. But the point of the announcement, other than the prophecy part, was hope. Ahaz, as we have seen, was sinking them deeper and deeper into darkness. And God is promising, God is guaranteeing that light is coming. Look at Luke 2, verse 10 through 12. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Here's the sign, the one that Ahaz should have asked for. I got to thinking, what if Ahaz had done it? I know we can't play the what if game, but what if Ahaz had asked for the sign? Would Jesus have come sooner? We don't know. But it's here that the Savior Israel has been waiting for has been announced. The glorious Christ is coming and has come. Point number two, wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. Look at the second part of verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four incredible names are given for this child. And the first is Wonderful Counselor. And the question is, what kind of government will this child rule with? The government of heavenly wisdom. Ahaz ignores heavenly counsel. And guess who Israel eventually fell to? Not the two northern kingdoms that he was afraid of. No, it was Assyria, the very nation that God commanded him not to align with. Human wisdom led Ahaz to believe that he was smarter than God. Israel is being led by a king with poor wisdom, a king that's full of pride, scared of losing his power. But the coming child will be wise. Isaiah 28, 29. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And how about Romans 11, 33 to 36? Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This child will be full of wisdom. He is wonderful counselor. He is all-knowing. How do we know that? Well, Isaiah says that this baby is God. Point number three, mighty God. This child will be called mighty God. This child will be strong. How strong? All powerful. That's how strong. Because he is God. He will be God Almighty. Isaiah doesn't say that he will be like the mighty God. And later, John makes the same claim in John 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, not like God, not similar to, but God in the flesh. Fast forward a couple of verses to John 1, verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look with me how Hebrews describes this child. In chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, but in these last days he has spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power, making purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Apostle Paul makes a claim on his divinity as well. Colossians 2:9, he says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So the child that Isaiah says we are looking for is God in the flesh, the exact imprint of the Father. Point number four, everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. Jesus will rule and usher in the kingdom of God. And this Hebrew phrase, Everlasting Father, could be translated Father of Eternity. He is Father forever. Now, this name is not to be confused with Jesus' role in the Trinity. But in the ancient times, rulers were considered fathers of their country. Sometimes our own George Washington is referred to as the father of the United States. And in a similar way, this child to be born will become king, and he will be a father to the children of Israel. He will protect them. He will provide for them. And his role as protector and provider will never come to an end. In verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He will be king, and his reign is never ending. Look what Jesus says in John 14, 18 through 20. He says to his people, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus is everlasting Father. All right, our final point. You guessed it, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Let's look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This promised child will be the one who is going to bring peace to his people. I want you to listen to this beautiful passage describing peace. It's from our passage that we will look at next week in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. Just close your eyes and listen to this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. A cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Perfect peace. All things made right because Jesus is the bringer of peace. That's what we get to look forward to when we reach eternity. The Apostle Paul says this of Jesus in Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in Ephesians 2:14 through 16, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And how about the famous passage, Isaiah 53:5? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. He speaks of how Jesus will be on the throne of David and over his kingdom. And Jeremiah has a similar tone in Jeremiah 23:5. Jeremiah says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. We'll talk a little bit more about the righteous branch next week. So I'd like to leave us today with a little bit of application. First, as we ponder what it means for Jesus to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you're here today and you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, if he is not your Lord and Savior, then what I'd like to say is this. Believe in him. He truly is all of these things that we've talked about today. He was born a baby all those years ago, and he was also born the King of Kings. He is the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And all you have to do is believe, call upon his name. If you're here and you're already a believer, but maybe you just need to recommit yourself, there's no time like today. I implore you to do the same. Just call upon the name of Jesus. Just run to him. Isaiah's promise was fulfilled all those years ago when Jesus was born as a baby. The child born to us is the Son given for us. The Wonderful Counselor who speaks grace into our wayward souls. Our Mighty King and God who breaks the power of sin. our everlasting Father, who holds us with unfailing love, and our Prince of Peace, who has reconciled us to God by his blood. This Christmas, the invitation is simple. Come out of the darkness and rest your hope in Jesus Christ. For he is the one who came, who now reigns, and will return again to make all things new. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the precious child that you've given us, your only begotten Son, Jesus. The one who turned darkness into light, sorrow into joy, oppression into freedom. May we seek him for wisdom. May we thank him for breaking the power of sin, for being our everlasting Father and caring for us every day, and for reconciling our hearts to you, Father, and ushering in peace that will rule in our hearts forever. Lord, we pray that this Christmas that you would help us to trust and obey your commands. Help us to rest in your grace. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.